Sheila Williams' fifth novel is The Secret Women. It's set in Cincinnati, and three women meet in a yoga class where they discover they share more than a dislike of their instructor. They are all motherless daughters. It's a story of friendships and family, and it was already dubbed a top beach pick by Time, Women's World, and Parade when it was released last month. Welcome, Sheila. It's great to have you here.
Thank you so much, Anne.
Sheila, what inspired you to create this story with multi-voices? All three of the women tell their stories.
Of course, my characters tend to visit me in my studio when I'm writing. So when I finally recovered actually from the process of the grief and the probate after my mother's death, the next step and the most monstrous was the stuff and going through the condo, the boxes, the drawers, the closets. And then, of course, from there, I go to yoga class and, you know, here are all these different personalities, all these people. They come and go, and sometimes they connect with each other and sometimes they don't. And I just sort of fused those two together and began to spin the stories. And also, I think I needed in my head to consider that this kind of scenario plays out among the generations. It doesn't have to be somebody 60 years old who deals with this. It could be somebody 40 years old or even someone 20 years old. Grief is something that everyone has to deal with. And then clearing out the stuff is another experience that we all get to share.
Well, it is. And I think for Elise, especially, whose mother was the pack rat of all pack rats, her accumulation of stuff just gobsmacked me. And she does, I think, say, or she says that it's like throwing away a life and she can't bear to do that.
That's correct. It is. You're looking at the items that meant so much to the person who meant so much to you. It hurts. It really does hurt because the item may not have the same resonance to your life, but the person who owned it did.
Now, all three of the characters, Elise, Dee Dee, and Carmen, they struggled with their mothers when they were alive, and now they're struggling with these unresolved issues. Have you shared similar struggles with your family and friends when your mother died? Did you have those kind of conflicts or just struggles?
Fortunately, I didn't have any of the angst that the three characters did, at least not to that degree, with one exception. My mother, about a year or so before she passed away, did inform us that, and we already knew, she loved china, loves good dishes, etc. She informed us that she had 8 sets of china. After the fact, we discovered she did not have 8 sets of china. She had more like 10 sets of china.
Gosh.
So that caused a bit of angst, you know, when you're unpacking and then packing it. But other than that, that was the only similarity.
Now, Cincinnati plays a role both in terms of the setting and where the characters work. P&G is in there and some places in Oakley and otherwise. So what inspired you to choose this geography and this city for this book?
Well, obviously, I'm living in the area, and it was an easy choice for me to make on that point. I will admit, however, I did steal a few locations from my hometown of Columbus, Ohio. So there's a little bit of fusion between Columbus and Cincinnati. But it just felt like a Cincinnati location to me, and that was easiest for me to work through. And I thought that the readers would enjoy that as well.
I don't want to give away spoilers, but one of the secrets in the novel might have been shared earlier in the particular character's life, and you probably know which one I'm referring to. Do you think that some secrets are best kept that way, especially among families? Or do you think that some of those secrets should be told and not remain secrets?
That's a good question. I think the answer is families are alike in some ways and not alike in others. And sometimes secrets can be very damaging and very confusing, especially for someone who's very young. Also, I think within the generations, there's a comfort level for some people to keep silent on certain pieces of information because there's nothing good's going to come of it if we talk about it. So we're just going to leave it in the realm of silence. And so I just think it just depends. My personal feeling is I'm nosy. I like to know everything. But I recognize that that isn't always possible and it isn't always the best thing.
I love the way you structured the book in that each daughter, each woman's mother leaves behind different kinds of stuff from everything and 12 sets of china to just a box with some documents and not much else. So how do you extract those secrets when there isn't a lot of evidence?
That's a good question. And that was why I wanted to give each character a different group of items that were boxed up in a different way. One woman has quite a bit and quite a bit of context to deal with. On the other end of the scale, of course, one of the characters has virtually nothing. And I've been in that since I'm a family history geek. So, you know, I'm always looking at documents and old photographs. And I recognize that sometimes there's a photograph with nothing on the back. So the advice there is to always put the names on the back of your photographs. You know, sometimes you get a photograph and you do not know who it is. You do not know where the photograph was taken. So that's an element of mystery. And I think that happens really in real life. You get information and you get items that they had a context for the person, but for you, it's a total mystery.
And I don't want to imply at all that this is a really serious novel. It is, but there's so much laughter. There's so much good time in it. These women, they love to party. They love to drink. They love their margaritas. And, and they all have wonderful senses of humor. So I think readers will really love it. And it's just a wonderful, delightful read. And all of your books, all of your novels, you focus on women's lives. And this is going to be a big focus in the libretto that you wrote for the opera Fierce, which has a score by William Menefeld, who is our local jazz genius and composing genius. And it's going to be premiered. It's going to have its world premiere presented by Cincinnati Opera next year. So what was the challenge for you as a novelist in working in a form that's so compressed verbally? I mean, you'd really have to just compress these kinds of experiences.
Well, for the libretto, I decided to keep the focus tight and to just tell the story. Sometimes you can get in your own way if you really worry too much about structure and form and design. You know, I was able to work with and listen to the 10 young women from the 3 community organizations. And because they told their stories and shared with me very generously their lives in a concise way, I just followed their path and their lead and, you know, went from story to story to story. You know, once upon a time there was, and you go right through until you get to the end. And the other part of that, Anne, is I do edit quite a bit. I mean, I'm pretty old school. My English professor in college was one of those red pen kind of people. And I do that for my own work as well. I, you know, get rid of as many adverbs as I can and keep it tight so that when William gets the libretto, you know, his job is to compose the music. And he can't compose good music if there's a whole lot of stuff there that isn't really needed. You know, he needs something that he can create and craft a melody around. And that's what I was very conscious of. And very different writing style, but ultimately you're telling a story and you're trying to get those elements of the story and of the character into the listener.
And what is it like for you to hear your words sung?
It was, the word awesome is overused, but this was truly awesome. The first time we did a workshop last fall, you know, one of the sopranos picked up the aria for, I think it was Rumor. I had no words at all. I was just, it's awesome. It is incredible because you hear the music, which in itself is wondrous. Then you hear those amazing voices, and it's fantastic.
Well, we look forward to hearing it and seeing it next summer with the Cincinnati Opera, and it's great talking with you. Thank you so much for being with me. Sheila Williams' novel, The Secret Women, you can find out more by going to our website, wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. I'm Ann Ehrenstein.